So it would be good. We'd be good if we started by singing the Three Nails, the song of the Three Nails, and also Rinpoche's commentary on the Three Nails, the essence of clear light sunshine.
Puede ser que está.
Sing Rinpoche's song called The Essence of Clear Light Sunshine, which is a commentary on the meaning of the Three Nails. There isn't time to go into an explanation of it, but Rinpoche says he feels that it's fairly clear and straightforward, and if we sing it again and again, then its meaning will become more and more clear. Namo Guru Asa Vajra Ye. In the Mighty One Sutras, this place was prophesied. As a secret place of the Guru, it was prophesied. Our great place of practice, Yomo Gangra in Nepal. To its victory banner of definitive teachings I bow. Meditation, conduct, and fruition. Like the nails whose points are so profound. Logicians may analyze them with reasoning, but they cannot penetrate their profound meaning. Naive meditators may strive and strain while they sit, but there's not much chance that they will realize it. So here I will explain in a concise way the profound points that are found at the ends of these nails. All appearances included in mind, what's the point of this nail? Confused appearances come from habitual tendencies, and all appearances are the energy and play of clear light. So they're all included in mind, that's the profound point. Mind itself is clear light, this profound nail's tough to get. Mind's true way of being cannot be elaborated, and its essence has always been completely pure. That's clear light indescribable, such a profound point. Then there's the nail that this clear light can't be recognized. You can't say it arises, ceases, or remains. Not something, not nothing, not an object of inference. So clear light is unfindable, such a profound point. Whatever thoughts arise, whether they are good or bad, in essence they're arising and ceasing cannot be seen. Their true nature is clear light, undefiled, and so thoughts as dharmakaya are free, this nail was sung. itself, arisen awareness itself, transcendent mind. In essential nature it is undefiled clear light. Bliss and emptiness, not different things at all. What they are in reality is undifferentiable. Awareness, clear light, and bliss are only distinguished by thoughts. Really, these three are undifferentiable. Mind's true nature is not created or contrived. So examining and contriving are in meditation. Undistracted, not meditated, no creating going on. Uncontrived equipoise is meditation supreme. When you realize that nature is clear light, all movements of body, speech, and mind are pure. You've actualized the genuinely true virtue, so your natural conduct is the 10 good deeds. When you realize that mind really doesn't arise, all vile thoughts are pure right where they are. The wrongdoer has also always been pure. So the 10 wrong deeds are naturally pure in their crown. The remedy prajna that realizes selflessness doesn't fix up luminous empty mind one bit. And the remedy itself has always been pure and free. So it doesn't create emptiness or clarity. The ground is clear light, the Buddha nature itself. Nirvana is its true being, its natural way. The three kayas are present all by themselves. So nirvana is nothing you import from somewhere else. Samsara is only the movement of thinking mind. Samsara is without root and without base. And the ones in samsara have never existed. So samsara is nothing you deport to somewhere else. This mind itself is wish-fulfilling jewel. Unborn, inconceivable, it's the Dharmakaya. And its appearing aspect is the supporting ground. From which the form kayas appear unimpededly. So mind's true nature is Buddha, that's this nail. Mind's true nature is Buddha, that's this nail. Like that are the nails that are so very profound. Meditation, conduct, and fruition. All you fortunate ones should gain certainty in them. And after you have done that, here's what you do. So that the practice lineage teachings will spread far and wide. One pointedly practice these nails in a peaceful place. Through all of this virtue, may all sentient beings not be attached to provisional dharma of the relative truth. May they gain certainty in profound definitive meaning, and through this may the practice lineage teachings flourish. As before, please give rise to the precious attitude of bodhicitta, as is described in the Great Vehicle, and listen. We are on the verse from the Praise of the Dharma Dhatu, which is number 43 in the little book, the last one, dealing with the Dharma Dhatu of the mind and phenomena perceived by the mind. And so the verse reads, the phenomena that appear to the mental consciousness, the primary one, are conceptualized and then superimposed. When this activity is abandoned, phenomena's lack of self-nature is known. Meditate on this itself as the Dharma Dhatu.
Dervam kunzup to kunzup tani zang do yi dang chu le ten ne yi ji jin ji dang chu ji jin ji le ten ne yi ji number he ba zo wo ru chur ba de yi ji nam chi zo wo ru chur ba de de wa de la na we chu nam la yi ji nam chi la na we chu nam la Deki Tokwatang Detan Dewokin Tene Mingdon kick the dreadens in the Tokwatang Tope drew Tapa Nami Demba Trouble Lasso, but Tope drew Tapa Nami Chusoki Tani Tajang Takwata Tani Tanayang Takwata Yoba Maimbecero Tani Nazo Tanayang, then Tani Takwatang, Ru Takwa Yendo, Nelu Loyoba Mayimbecero.
Commentary. Completely falsely or superficially or conventionally, in dependence upon the mind and the phenomena that appear to it, the mental consciousness becomes primary. So in dependence upon mind perceiving something and the phenomena that is perceived, the phenomenon that is perceived, the mental consciousness becomes primary, meaning that it arises. One thinks that the particular phenomenon appearing to the mental consciousness is this or that, and creates a conventional label for this phenomenon, whose existence one has superimposed onto genuine reality. However, that phenomenon, does not exist as it is imagined to do so. So it does not exist as we think that it exists.
That's right.
Yijanam hila mendantum chik the drev nama song. Yana yijanam hiji mendon chik the drev de zimbata.
That's right.
They gain though. Then, but Tropa Darangi to Tropa La Sopa, Drota Jetter Sena Young, number Tope Tapa Yendo, Young Tapper Madrobore.
Masson.
Kick that to Merangin and Debe Sena, Young Tapper Madrobore.
The function of the mental consciousness, the conceptual consciousness, is to mix together the object that it perceives with the name for that object, and to think that these two are one, that they are just one thing, the name for the object and the object itself. And then what's more is that the that consciousness thinks that that object really exists. This mixture of the name and the object is something truly existent. However, we can understand that this is not the case from understanding that the object perceived does not truly exist, for example, because it is neither one thing nor many things, and there's no third alternative. Therefore, the mixing together of name with object and the belief that the object is actually existent is called a superimposition onto genuine reality of something which really isn't there. So we can put this in the form of a reasoning by saying that given this mixture together of the name and the object, it does not inherently exist because thoughts superimpose its existence onto reality where it wasn't originally
there.
We can take any basis for imputing a name that we want to, any object, and if we don't know what it is, then we just look at it and we say, oh, what is this? This needs a name. Then we give it some kind of name. Then, all of a sudden, we take the name and the object to be the same thing. But the name didn't exist inherently in the object at all.
These
days they find scientists discover these huge bones belonging to ancient creatures, and they say, well, these creatures need a name, so let's call them dinosaurs. But before, they didn't have that name. It was just a name that was newly given to them. And these days also, they are making many new machines all the time. And then when they make a new machine that can do something new, they say, this thing needs a name. So let's call it this or that. And then again, the object has a name that it never had before that's not connected with what it is.
According
to the tradition of the Sutra school, the Sautrantika, their philosophical view is that the object to which we give something a name, that object really exists, but the name doesn't. The name and the thoughts about the object are just imputed by the mind and have no connection with the object in actual reality. According to the tradition of the great vehicle, particularly of the Prajnaparamita Sutras on emptiness, then this basis for imputation doesn't really exist either. The object itself doesn't exist either, neither does the name, which is just this abstract image in our minds anyway. So that the names do not truly exist is taught in, from among the 16 emptinesses, what is called the emptiness of all phenomena, and that the objects themselves, to which we give names, do not exist, really is taught in what is called the emptiness of characteristics. We think a lot about the past and the future, and in particular, as a result of our worrying about the future, our thinking about the future, we can suffer a lot. But if we look for this future, we can't find it anywhere. It's not something that exists. Since the future doesn't really exist, then the name future certainly can't exist. There's no object. There can't be a name of an object. And similarly, the thought that thinks about the future never really arises, ceases, or remains anywhere in the middle. So this is what we have to know. We think about form, sound, smell, things we can taste, things we can touch. And each of these appears to be one distinct thing. So when we think form, we get a picture in our mind, an abstract image that is one thing, one general abstract category. But we can easily see that this is not how it is because there are so many different types of form. So form is not just one thing. Nor can it be many things, however, because in each of these many things, these many different categories, which we can see are there, that those are not one either, but are also divisible into many more. So form is neither one nor many, and therefore it is not inherently existent.
Tene zogne karbo yamayi, marbo yamayi, mwimbo yamayi, dhulye yamayi, dhombo yamayi, so sumba yare, tundru la tene tongba nyeje tong to. Tene tong nyeje nanjur ma, tong nyeje toto marjuba.
Maso. As Rinpoche told the story of Machik Labdrin earlier, Machik Labdrin was able to read the entire 100,000 verses of the Prajna, Greater Prajna Paramita Sutra, all 12 volumes of it in a single day. And when she did that, she read things like form is not white, it's not red, it's not blue, it's not rectangular, it's not circular, it is empty. And through reading all of this, she read the entire sutra 30 times every day for a month. And at that point, she gained realization of emptiness. So she was praised as the Prajna Paramita Siddha, the yogini who gained her realization from studying, learning about emptiness. When we think form, if we thought that this form was white, then that would exclude all of the form that is red and blue and whatever. So as soon as we start to attach any characteristics to this at all, it excludes all an infinite number of things that we would otherwise consider to be form. So that's why form is not something that truly exists. Or when we thought about form, if we said, oh, form is circular, then that would exclude all the forms that are triangular or rectangular from being forms at all. Therefore, this form cannot be said to have any characteristics. Because as soon as we say that it has some, it excludes other ones. And we must understand that it is of the nature of emptiness. So when we say form, and we're referring to something, we have to think about what is that to which we are referring. What is it? When we examine it, we find that it can't have any characteristics at all. And so form is of the nature of emptiness. So we can then say, well, this form has many parts to it then. This form is not one thing, maybe it's many. Well, it can't be many because, as Rinpoche said before, if we investigate these many also have many parts. So it can't be one thing, it can't be many things, because the many are then many. We can never find one truly existent thing. Let's look at the example of when we apply this to an example of, like, if you see somebody who you don't like. Then when we see somebody we don't like, we see their form. We say, oh, that's the person I don't like over there. But is it really just one thing? No, it's not, because that person has many components to them. They have their five skandhas. They are form, and they are their mind, which discriminates and has feeling, and all different other kinds of emotions and consciousness, too. So they're not really just one thing. They're many. If these five skandhas were, or if the person we didn't like, our enemy, were actually these five skandhas, then we wouldn't have one enemy, we'd have five.
But it didn't even love. rere ne yo ma re tene pompo nga rere la che na yang ma dro pa se na tene drawo ki sa ba te rangi je ma dro pa ti da to me rangi le de ba
ma so
ten drawo che pa zo na tene drawo la de ba ri ken pa me wa cha na tene de ba ri ke pa konto mi ke
ma so
arbe
na re rum
So we investigate this person we don't like. We see that there's not one unit there that can be our enemy. And also each of their five skandhas can't be our enemy, or else we'd have five enemies. And then when we investigate these five skandhas, again, these five aggregates, we can't find anything inherently existent. So who is this person that we are angry at? Where are they? We try to find them, and we can't find them at all. And so then our anger naturally dissipates.
De mare pumbu nga tsotsa de dravore sa na pumbu nga so so le se de tsotsa ma tsokpa ti je de ni pumbu ma de bele.
Na so.
Ti se na tsotsa ma de.
Na so.
Tsokpa ma de.
Na so.
So then we could say, well, that's not how it is. You know, it's this analysis doesn't make any sense really because what our enemy is the coming together of all of these skandhas. Now, obviously, it's not just one of these skandhas or them individually, but it's the coming together, the association of them all. But there is no association apart from the skandhas themselves. This idea of some association or some union of different things, when we examine it, we can't find anything apart from the individual components. So this is why the enemy can't be that either.
It just say kewa le chun chok le, roba malam ta va te nambar ta na chukeng da song.
Yes, sir.
Roba malam da vo re, tan sang re. Hirap ji che na chukeng da vo ma drop re song.
Yes, sir.
Rekpa te ja na dravo malam ta vo re, nambar che na chukeng da.
Yes, sir.
Which is why the Bodhisattva Shantideva said in his Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life, these beings are just like beings in a dream. If we analyze them, we find that like a banana tree, they have no essence. Therefore, the enemies, the people we don't like, do not truly exist. They have no essence. Same thing with the people we like. They have no essence. And so their nature is of the nature of equality. Friend and enemy are just of the nature of equality. Their basic nature is both that they transcend all conceptual elaborations in terms of what they actually are.
Tene kiram nyingpo le pumbo nga po te da jang rang yin je tongpa yang takpar jisa tabo songpa.
Maso.
Te dan songpa tene pumbo nga po rang yin je tongpa nyingpe se na dra dan nying dan parma tamche je pumbo tamche rang yin je tongpa
nyingpe. Maso.
As it says in the Heart Sutra, know that the five skandhas are empty by nature, that their nature is emptiness. So this is how it is with the people we like and those whom we don't. Those whom we don't like, their five skandhas are empty by their very nature, and the ones we like are empty by their very nature. And so friend and enemy are equality.
Deyin de kiram nyung bole meng me nawa me na me ke me le me ye me zo me da me de me ro me za me chue me de zo tin tin chu ni tong ba ni de song ba re
ma so
te dan song ban de ka zu chu yin te ba ka so de ne tin tin chu ni de tong ba ni je tha ni ta ma te ba re pa yang ko yang ge tha ni de
ma so
yin je tha ni de ma
ma so
tin tin chu ni de chu
ma so
In the Heart Sutra it says there is no form, no feeling, no form, no sound, no smell, no taste, no touch, no phenomena, no eyes, no ear, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind. This teaches the emptiness of the 12 ayatanas, or the 12 sources of consciousness, that are the same subject of Nagarjuna's examination in the praise of the Dharmadhatu. However, in the praise of the Dharmadhatu, what is taught is that these are of the nature of the Dharmadhatu, the expanse, which is of the nature of openness, spaciousness, and relaxedness. Therefore, the true nature of our skandhas or aggregates, our dhatus or potentials, and our ayatanas or sources of consciousness are the Dharma Dhatu. They are naturally the expanse of reality and nothing but that. However, we don't realize that, and so we are confused. And therefore, what we need to do is to practice on the path which allows us to purify ourselves of these thoughts that take all of these things to be real. And by doing that, then we will come to realize that the nature of all of these is the Dharma Dhatu. Since our own nature, the basic nature of what we are is open, spacious, and relaxed, then when we realize the Dharma Dhatu, then we will become open, spacious, and relaxed. We will manifest that, because it's our inherent nature already to be that way. How does this openness and spaciousness manifest? It manifests in the way of dreaming and knowing that you're dreaming. That's what it's like. If we know it's a dream, then we can have appearances of friends, we can have appearances of enemies. It doesn't matter, because we know that it's just a dream. Whatever appears is just a dream, and that experience is naturally open and spacious
and relaxed.
Similarly, if we realize that the nature of the future and all of our anxiety that our thoughts produce about the future is the Dharma Dhatu, then we won't have any more difficulty that comes from worrying about the future. And that will be a very open, spacious, and relaxed experience.
Ini malare pe chukka longjor longjor je le chukka longjor le so semda namkha che mena chukka long do jor ba ni
maso
te chuyen la chuyen de chukka tra da che kwa re
maso
semda namkha yer me ba to chuyen yang tha bu len de ba
maso
te na yi namkha tha bu len de ba te ye de sem je chuyen yang pe ba len de ba to na te ne chuyen chukka longjor am
Milarepa sings, when mind and space are not two different things, this is Dharmakaya, as mastered as it can be. In this case, Dharmakaya and Dharmadhatu have the same meaning. Dharmakaya, the body of reality, or the kaya of truth. Dharmadhatu, the expanse of reality. So they're talking about the same thing. And it's not talking about space here in this example as being like a vacuum or a mere emptiness. Rather, it is that space has no center or boundary. And similarly, mind has no center or boundary, no midpoint, no edge. And when the undifferentiability of mind and space is realized, that's as Dharmakaya as it can be.
Yang tapar ngowi matropa nandong yeme re. Sen de nandong malam gendu nandong yeme yeba te gendu yeba sama yang nandong yeme re. Tele chepa mepar to na ne lok long do churvay. Ne lok se chete ne lok ton tambir tenba long do churvay. Ne lok la rawang tapare chan.
Masa.
Milarepa also sings, not seeing the here and hereafter as different. This is their nature as mastered as it can be. The here refers to this life. It is nothing more than appearance emptiness. The hereafter refers to the next life. That too is just appearance emptiness. So where's the difference? What's different between these two? There isn't any difference. And realizing this is mastery of the true nature. It is independence that is gained because of realization of the true nature of reality. We, in contrast, are attached to having happy outcomes in this life, and we're afraid of going to the next one. And this is just a sign that we have not gained mastery of the true nature.
Tena malam to kang roi gimba sacha ta pa roya ga tha re bu sala malang ngoi kin na cheba yo ma
sa sa
mo ma kin na cheba yo
ma sa
tena
ma sa.
We can have a dream of walking to a very far off and distant place. And if we know that we're dreaming, then the place where we are right now and the place where we're going, it doesn't really matter. But if we don't know we're dreaming, then there's a big difference. This life and the next life and the bardo, the intermediate stage in between, are all appearance emptiness, the protector Nagarjuna taught. They are all just like water moons. Gyawa Gotsampa also sang, the sixfold consciousness purified. I have to look at it. Cheat. There we go. Cutting through the root, it holds its own ground. Sixfold consciousness, unspoiled by artifice. Free of effort aimed at recollection. These are three which make meditation fully free, like a lance that flashes free in the open sky.
Chodokyule means nēlōk chū lē mē bā, zō chū mē bā.
Mā sō.
Dē, kōlō pāpā tātā sē nā rāngīn tōng bā nē tā tī kwa.
Mā sō.
The second line, six-fold consciousness unspoiled by artifice, means that the true, the basic nature of the six-fold, the six collections of consciousness is Dharma Dhatu. So there's nothing that needs to be altered, or there's no artifice that needs to be engaged in. It's just naturally empty. This is the teaching of the second turning of the Wheel of Dharma as well, the natural emptiness of the six collections of consciousness.
Yīng nāmdā ngāngdā yērmē sī sō gāyōng jī tō tōlē jār sōng.
Mā sō.
Tēnī, dēchīn pēsōm tōpa ñāngī sōng nārvā nī, nē lōk tē chūyēn yīdā sē nā, chūyēn ngāng lī nī tō mē bā.
Mā sō.
Tēn rāvō tō nā, sō gāyō jī tō, gābō tō, jībō tō, tōlē jār, tē kār jār, kātē tō nā yā tē dī jār.
Mā sō.
Rinpoche quoted one verse from another song by Gotsampa called the eight cases of, or the eight types of non-duality. He wants to repeat it again today because he thinks it's very important for us to know and reflect on. Complete happiness and comfort and overwhelming pain and suffering, these distinctions don't exist in the pure expanse. So how joyful, how happy, sudden victory. The nature of happy experiences is Dharma Dhatu. The nature of experiences of intense suffering is also Dharma Dhatu. And so there is no difference between these two. The distinction is then lost. And when that is realized, when the equality of happiness and suffering is realized, that is an incredibly happy experience. That is a wonderful experience. That is sudden victory, hitting the jackpot. Because as soon as you realize it, that's it. You've hit the jackpot. There's nothing more to do. The game is over.
Namkala sala satola ma temunta lo lang kantrap to do yung do.
Maso.
Te ti po re gayon ti to tole jen.
Maso.
Te pe te malam mo ki ba.
Maso.
Sometimes if people dream and they know they're dreaming, then they can fly in the sky. They can cruise around and look at what's going on down on the ground and land wherever they want. Do a dance, sing a song, and take off again. This is what this experience of being happy and joyful and sudden victory is talking about. Best example is dreaming and knowing that you're dreaming.
Deje do sagong de teng da wo da so je tong ba deje do tere sagong de chahe je long ba rang long ba kandi je na yo.
The same thing with this planet, which we have determined actually is directionless and empty of up and down, and nevertheless we've divided into little pieces called countries. Each of these little pieces also is neither one thing nor is it many, and so it does not truly exist. So whatever country we may happen to live in, it's something which is not truly existent. Therefore, our home countries are Dharma Dhatu, and the appearances of people in these home countries are just appearance, emptiness, undifferentiable. As Milarepa sang in one song called Solemn Commitment to Lead a Meaningful Life by Practicing Dharma, my fatherland, my father's house, my father's fields and all, samsaric kinds of phenomena without substantial pith. Whoever wants it, take it, beings without substantial pith. I, the yogi, am on my way. It's freedom I'll achieve. So when Milarepa is singing about his fatherland and all of these things, he says, you want it? You can have it. I don't care. Where am I going? I'm going to get liberation. So I don't care about these things anymore.
This dina yorji chuyen da payorji chuyen to na.
in their own place. They are free all by themselves. So confusion is pacified and compassion naturally increases. This has been a brief explanation of the Dharmadhatu of the 12 sources of consciousness as taught by the protector Nagarjuna in his text, The Praise of the Dharmadhatu. So in harmony with that, let us again sing the song by the Lord of Yogis Milarepa, called the Song of the Profound Definitive Meaning, sung on the snowy rain.
Karma Jonga Lachavacho.
So if there are questions, we have 15 minutes for questions.
Yeah.
What are some of the marks or characteristics of somebody who's realized the Dharma Dhatu? Or another way of asking the question, how do you know when you have small realization or big realization? Sure, there must be some kind of characteristics or signs or marks.
By identifying your own progress on
the precisely.
Rang Rangi Topa La Kandis. Hako tukido. Rang rangi topa chung chung yina, chembo yina, dene ta katsu kan kare kare yare.
Topa,
eh? Lare.
Tiende la denbari kin, donga la denbari kin, no? Tene so si kiwo yin, ta.
If you are attached to this life as being real, if you think suffering is real, that's a sign that you're an ordinary sentient being.
Can they get up? See, the Nandong Mulam Tabra Topa Topa, the Nanga Sena. Kangar meba, donga meba, bayan koyan yuno, then apa yung batay?
If you realize this life to be appearance and emptiness undifferentiable, that everything is just like a dream, and inside you have no difficulty at all, everything is open, spacious, and relaxed, then that's a sign that you're a noble bodhisattva.
Then kirap je chuji ying, tongba ni da chuji ying la jibe,
If you're certain about emptiness, if you've investigated with your intelligence, your prajna, and you've come to certainty that the nature of phenomena is emptiness, and still, at the time that you experience some type of suffering, say bodily pain, and you still have the experience of that pain, then that's a sign that you have certainty in emptiness, and you start to have some experiences of emptiness, but it's also a sign that you haven't directly experienced the true nature of reality. In the Great Vehicle, it's taught that we should give up our bodies for the benefit of others, like cut off our limbs and hand them to someone who might want them, who might need them. And as long as when doing this, the practitioner still suffers pain as a result of chopping their limbs off, then that's a sign that they are giving of their body out of compassion, but not out of realization of emptiness. If, on the other hand, someone is able to cut off their limbs and give them away and not have any experience of suffering at all, then that's a sign that they're a bodhisattva. The glorious Chandrakirti described it this way. If you see someone happily giving away their flesh, then that's a sign of something that is imperceivable. In other words, if you see someone who is giving away their flesh and blood without any suffering at all, then that's a sign that they're a bodhisattva. We can't see their realization directly, But the fact that they're acting like that is a sign that they're a noble bodhisattva. Similarly, if you are able to give rise to compassion that encompasses all sentient beings, including ones you don't like, then that is a sign that you have great compassion. Because great compassion doesn't leave anybody out. If we have compassion for compassionate sentient beings, but we don't have compassion for harmful sentient beings, then that's a sign that we don't have great compassion. We're still getting angry at people who are doing harmful things. Then it's a sign we don't have great compassion. Great compassion includes people who are nice and people who are not nice.
Rangi kendo mepa, ranglan dhepa mepa. Tumi tsebe balabhiyo. Chong, chodop shumba mepa. Som, ningin kalan dhokor yin songwa. Ningin kalan dhokor. Ningin la tinte, tini, tsoepa mepa. Dabam? Tsoepa mepa tsebe balabhiyo no.
Gotsampa, Gyawa Gotsampa described it this way. Self-concerns, ambitions are exhausted, uplifting waves of love without contention. Tireless, relentless, not self-seeking. These are three which make compassion fully free, like a lance that flashes free in the open sky. Uplifting waves of love without contention, without strife or quarrel. This is true compassion. This is great compassion. If we have compassion towards some sentient beings, and then other beings do those first sentient beings whom we like harm, and then we get angry at them,